guys, we have made it. We have made it. It started from 50 to 41. Then it went from 40 to 31. Then it went from 30 to 21. Then it went from 20 to 11 last week. Now we have made it to the conclusion of our list, 10 through 1 of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. I am really pumped about this episode. Got our list together, was just kind of thinking of, you know, some games that we left out in our honorable mentions, but we're going to have an honorable mentions. We're going to put them in there, and games that didn't make the list, but they made our honorable mentions. We're going to discuss that here in a little bit, but 10 through 1, we have made it right before we discuss our spring outlooks for college football. With that being said, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris, and whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean or Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others. X, Instagram, Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy, guys. Just type it in on your phone, laptops, wherever you are. Type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates, get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. Yep, from X, that from me, Pigskin Frenzy. And you will get Instagram trivia question stories. Go and answer today's college football one, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, the website, go and check it out, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can contact me there. You can see the affiliations page. You can see, you know, the store that's coming soon. You can see everything on and everything up to date with Pigskin Frenzy on that site. You want a platform to choose from? Go to the platforms page on the website and get it. Go and listen to Pigskin Frenzy on each platform from that website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Guys and men out there, do you just feel like your beard can be just a little bit scrunchy and your facial hair can be just scrunchy? Well, guess what? My beard doesn't feel all that scrunchy. You want to know why? Because I use the Beard Club. The Beard Club. Guys, partners of Pigskin Frenzy, they have tremendous products. The Beard Club Kit, the Beard Growthing Kit, Body Wash, you name it. They have Body Wash. Body Wash. Just ordered it just today. Body Wash. We're going to get it. Pigskin Frenzy is partnered with the Beard Club. You get all these wonderful products and at amazing deals. There's a sale going on, 15% off and 35% off for a lot of these products. The Beard Club. Out now. Go and get a lot of this, you know, a lot of these products. Partner with Pigskin Frenzy. Just go to my link on the website, go through the website on the affiliations page, click on the Beard Club logo, as well as my link tree. Go to the link tree and click on the Beard Club on my link tree and go shop now and meet your grooming needs, guys. Meet your grooming needs with the Beard Club, with your beard, your facial hair, your body itself, your hair, anything. Meet your facial hair and your hair and grooming needs met, men and women. Women, wives out there, girlfriends or wives, you're not going to be disappointed with these products for your male counterpart. So the Beard Club, go and get it right now. Like I said, on my link tree and on the website, click the logo on my website. The Beard Club, partnered with Pigskin Frenzy. Go and get the products now. So college football day today. I took the wind out of my sails with that advertising, guys. College football day today. Let's get it going. I cannot wait. We are getting closer and closer to spring football. By the way, it technically is starting to become spring since it's March. But here's the deal. In Illinois, it's freezing, okay? It's 29 degrees right now. We get a mixture of a spring. Our spring comes around in April going into May, and our summers start in June. Whether in my home state of Mississippi, it's a little bit different. So it's a little chilly today. It's a little chilly, but it's spring. And you know what happens in spring? You're right. Spring football, Joel. Good job. Everybody give us a round of applause. Spring football happens in a few weeks, and we have a lot of schools that we're going to be doing outlooks on. Alabama, Georgia. I mentioned that we're going to do a few. Georgia Tech. We're going to do UCF. We're going to do a lot of these outlooks on different schools. And I cannot wait for spring football. I cannot wait to cover spring football and talk about spring football over the next few episodes and going into May. So I cannot wait for that. Guys, let's get it going with our conclusion of our list, though, because 10 through 11, the conclusion of our list of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. We're going to put 2023 here in the rearview mirror right now. And before we get to 10 through 1 of our, you know, glorious list, right? Let's talk about our honorable mentions, because I mentioned that I kind of just talked about it. I'm going to talk about it a little bit and just got to thinking there are some games that I did not put on the list that were really, really good, actually. It was really, really good. So we're going to mention some of these honorable mentions here on this list. So honorable mentions. Let's kick it off with one. The Sugar Bowl college football playoff semifinal between Texas and Washington. It was a back and forth. And I would say this. I didn't put it on the list. I did not put it on the list, and I'll tell you really why. Because at first, the game was a blowout. It was a blowout until the very, like, what, six to five minutes left in the game. And then Texas almost came back and beat Washington late in the game. But it was an honorable mention because of that reason. It was a bunch of star power, two powerhouse teams in this game. And it was a really good game. It was an Alamo Bowl rematch from the 2022 season. So Texas and Washington Sugar Bowl college football playoff semifinal is in our honorable mentions because of the ending of that game and the hype around that game. Back and forth game in the very end. Now, throughout the game, it was all Washington. Michael Penix Jr., Roma Dunsey, Texas defense did not have an answer for Dylan Johnson and a lot of these guys. Now, the Sugar Bowl, we'll put that in our honorable mentions, but we will not put it in our list. Another game, Michigan and Penn State. Michigan and Penn State, it was a close back and forth game. I didn't put it on the list because I just felt like there was a lot of other games out there that had to be put on the list besides that one. A lot of other closer contests and a lot of closer games than that one. Even though that game was pretty close, it ended up becoming a blowout late in the game. I think the blowout late in the game play-wise, and it was pure domination by Michigan, was the factor of putting it into an honorable mentions instead of really putting it in to the list, because at first the game was close. Penn State and Michigan were going back and forth, trading back and forth. But the one thing that I did not like about the game was Penn State's inability to stop the run. They could not stop Michigan's running attack. And I feel like that's where the game just got out of hand. Michigan then started to out physical Penn State. And I felt like in this moment, it didn't really need to be on the list. It's an honorable mention. Last one before we go to number 10 on this list, and it's Florida State and LSU. Honorable mention is Florida State and LSU, and I'm going to mention that real quick. Touch on it. Close game at first, but in the game, in the first half, LSU had the lead. It was 17-14. I believe, or 17, it was 17-14, tied up, or LSU led by 3 at half. And then it went downhill from there. Florida State got a couple of good stops. Jaden Daniels threw a pick. That offense was white hot, but LSU's defense couldn't stop, anybody. They couldn't stop Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, or the Florida State fan in Camping World Stadium, okay? They couldn't stop anybody that night. So I feel like the game got out of hand in the second half. It was all Florida State. Florida State ended up going on to win that game big. And just because of LSU's defense, I put it in the honorable mention because of the hype around the game. Because, man, by everybody out in college football world, that game was super hyped going into the 2023 season. Everybody was looking forward to Sunday, September 3rd, the rematch between Florida State and LSU because of what happened the year prior in New Orleans. Everybody was looking forward to that game. Both teams ended their season really strong. They were both in the top 10, essentially. So it was a top 10 matchup, top 8 matchup between Florida State and LSU. It was hyped. And I think that's why I'm going to put it in my honorable mentions because of how hype the game was, but it wasn't enough to put it in my list because of what happened in the game. But what happened overall in the game, Florida State spanked them. And they spanked them in the second half. Florida State got the win, and that's what matters. So put it in honorable mentions. So the honorable mentions are the Sugar Bowl / College Football Playoff semifinal for the 2023 season, Texas and Washington, Michigan and Penn State, and Florida State and LSU in the season opener in Camping World Stadium in Orlando. So those are my honorable mention games. And congratulations on making it in the honorable mentions list for these games. So let's go to number 10. Number 10 in this list, you're going to think, dude, this is kind of interesting. Kansas State and Missouri. You wouldn't think that, but let me just pull up my notes here really quick. Kansas State and Missouri. You're going to think, dude, why is this on your list? Watch the game, and then come back to me, and we'll talk. It was an awesome game. It was. It was an awesome game. The final score of that game was Missouri 30, Kansas State 27. Missouri defeated Kansas State at home, and this was a week 3 contest between the two teams, and a lot of people didn't really know much about Missouri up until that win right there. When Missouri got the win, they were, you know, they got 3-0. They were talking about Eli Drinkwitz after that, thinking, okay, Missouri, maybe Eli and Drinkwitz, and, you know, Missouri may be onto something. Mizzou football may be onto something right now. And after that win, they were onto something. Will Howard played an incredible game. Brady Cook played an incredible game. Luther Burden had an amazing monster game, 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. But let me go on and tell you something. Let's talk about something really quick. And I want to talk about the overview, which, and what I mean by that is the scoring summary. Harrison Mevis, the legend himself, in the game, kicked a 61-yard field goal. Record, by the way, 61-yard field goal in that game to ice it. Back and forth between both teams. Missouri was putting up a fight. I picked Kansas State to win that game. Everybody was picking Kansas State to win that game. No one knew about Missouri yet until this game right here. They played a heck of a game. They could not stop Luther Burden. Brady Cook was a madman in that game with Luther Burden. Theo Weiss played a good game. Cody Schrader, he played a decent game, but it wasn't until midseason when Cody Schrader started picking up some steam in the running attack and became one of the most dominant running backs this season for college football. But Harrison Mevis, the kicker who got him the win, near midfield or a little bit under midfield, kicks a bomb downfield. What a sniper. A sniper for a leg. Kicks it 61 yards. 61 yards and gives them the win 30-27. Back and forth game. It was a top 10 game for a reason. If you watched it, you were on the edge of your seat. You were wondering, is Missouri going to pull off the upset? Because even in a game like this, Kansas State, the defending Big 12 champions, yes, and Missouri, who Missouri hadn't been finishing the best in their division in the SEC East in quite some time. And not only that, not really finishing strong in general in quite some time. You look at it and you're thinking, man, literally, could this happen? Are they going to pull off the upset here? And they did from a 61-yard field goal. I'm going to keep mentioning that 61-yard field goal. That was incredible, that 61-yard field goal was. Quite incredible. This game was electric. Crowd was amped in Ferret Field in Columbia, Missouri. And an electrifying game between both teams. And the crowd was just awesome. They were on their feet. I was on the edge of my seat watching that game back and forth, and Missouri got the win that game. It's number 10 because of all that what I mentioned. It's a top 10 game, and I'm putting it at number 10 for Pigskin Frenzy's list. So, Pigskin Frenzy's list, number 10 of the 2023 college football season, the games. Kansas State at Missouri, number 10. Missouri defeated Kansas State 30-27 off of, like I just mentioned, the legend himself, Harrison Mevis, 61-yard field goal, sniper for a leg. What a game that was. Number 9, and number 9 is a good one, and I thought about number 9 for a little bit and was thinking, man, it was a barn burner. because I switched it from the Kentucky-Georgia game, did not put that on the game, did not put that on the list because the game was hyped, but Georgia ended up winning that game big. So I switched it and was getting ready. I was thinking to myself, okay, are we going to watch Pac-12 after dark? Arizona and USC, I don't know. USC could beat them down. And I was thinking that, but I really didn't. But I really just took a watch. I took a watch, and I saw Noah Fifita, and I saw how he played, and I saw Delora play. I saw how Jed Fitch coached that team, and I looked at their defense. I looked at Arizona's defense and how stout they were, and I was like, Arizona looks like a pretty good football team against this USC squad. I'm not going to lie. At USC, back and forth game. It went into triple overtime. Arizona was actually Arizona. If you want to look at the, if you want to go to the score, the scoring, you know, the scoring card here for Arizona and USC, Arizona was up on USC. Actually, they were USC was up in the the second quarter. It was 14-7, quarter number three, 7-3. Arizona scored them, outscored them 8-7. And then they had a tremendous triple overtime. It was the final score of this game, though. Overall, it was a good game for Arizona. Arizona was playing with heart, and they showed out. They showed everybody that Arizona this season was not going to be messed with. Even at 3-3, this team was dangerous. This is a team that could sneak up on you and get you. USC, right? USC goes 6-0 in that game and beats Arizona 43-41 in triple overtime because Caleb Williams is Caleb Williams, right? We proved that in, you know, as you know, we'll talk more about him on Thursdays now, but he is Caleb Williams, and it proved to be dividends for Arizona's defense after they went for two. So it was a good game. On both parts, back and forth. USC's defense was giving them. USC's defense was kind of giving USC some fits overall because Arizona was all over them, and USC's defense could not stop them. Arizona's offense was all over USC's defense. USC's defense, Alex Grinch, like I said, the same problems that USC's been having for the past couple of years, and even in Oklahoma with Alex Grinch, they could not stop anybody. They couldn't stop Arizona at all. But the proven dividend in that game was if USC can get one stop, just one stop, you can let Caleb Williams do his work. And that's what happened. That's what happened in triple overtime. This game really proved to be dividends. It proved that USC kind of was a little bit weaker than we anticipated. And it did. That defense in this game showed that there could be some problems this season for USC after playing that game. It was October 7th, 2023. Final score of this game, like I said, was 43-41. USC did defeat Arizona to get the win, but when you look at it and you're thinking to yourself, man, this could be a problem for USC, and that's what I was thinking watching this game. USC season could be a problem. This could be a problem for them going into, you know, continuing on with this season because that defense was having a tough time facing Arizona. Nothing against Arizona. Arizona, Jonah Williams, Noah Fifita, Jalen Delora, the other quarterback. All those guys were incredible. Jed Fish coached that team very well. Arizona could have won that game. Unfortunately, Caleb Williams happened. The defense ended up getting that one stop. But they still could have won that game. It was back and forth. Arizona gave USC all that they could handle, and it wasn't enough. But this showed that USC was a little bit dented, and that dent was the USC Trojan defense. Now for this game, it showed Arizona that, hey, if you play Arizona, you're going to have to come to play, all right? You're going to have to come to play. They went on to beat teams like Utah, Arizona State. They went on to beat some teams in the Pac-12. They were this close, ladies and gentlemen, this close to making it to the Pac-12 championship game. This close. If you're seeing me on YouTube, you see how close it is. If you listen to me on audio, I'm going to tell you something. By the hair of their chinny chin chin, Arizona was close to making it to the Pac-12 championship. Not joking. They didn't make it, obviously, But they were close. And Arizona was a good Arizona's a, proved to be a good team this season. Can't wait to see what they do in the Pac-12. Can't wait to see what USC does in the Big Ten. Or I'm sorry, the Big 12 for Arizona and the Big Ten for USC. But what a game this was. Triple overtime, back and forth. I was on the edge of my seat. I was thinking to myself, wow, I cannot believe that this game right here is just going the way it's going. But final score of this game, 43-41 in triple overtime. USC defeated Arizona. Number nine on this list is Arizona at USC in a barn burner at the Coliseum in Los Angeles, California. Number eight. Number eight's a good one. Let's go to number eight. Texas versus Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry. Why? Why do you ask? Because it was a back and forth game, and the Red River rivalry is always a classic. You always got to watch it in October, in early October, the Red River rivalry. And now, this was the last game that the Red River rivalry will be played in the Big 12. Now the Red River rivalry is owned by the SEC. The SEC will be hosting the Red River rivalry in Dallas this year in the Cotton Bowl, the old Cotton Bowl Stadium. It's crazy. It's really crazy. The Red River rivalry, back and forth game, it usually is. Some years it's just an absolute blowout. Texas won the last year. It was a little bit different because Texas was just hammering Oklahoma last season, and Oklahoma was saying to themselves, let's do something different. Let's do something different a little bit. Dylan Gabriel had a monster game, back and forth a game. The defense for Oklahoma was stepping up. The Sooners were playing sound defense. Billy Bowman Jr., incredible turnover in the red zone by, to pick off Texas in the red zone. It was an incredible game. It was a battle between undefeateds. We were wondering, could both of these teams, be in the Big 12 championship again? And could, but one of these teams, represent the Big 12 in the college football playoff. That's how big the stakes were in this game. It's number eight because of the finish. It was number eight because of the hype around it. And it was number eight because of the crowd noise. It was number eight because of the spectacle itself of the game. It was electric. The game was it was outstanding. Back and forth until the end. Oklahoma defeated Texas in a monumental upset, 34-30. Texas was projected to win big, honestly, in this game, but it turned into a monumental game for both teams. Oklahoma's defense was the key in this one, followed by Dylan Gabriel's performance, and they were trying to give him Heisman praise early on, after this win. They defeated Texas 34-30 in the Red River rivalry, and Texas had a one-loss record on their resume. They're one blemish of the year. I'm sorry. They have two blemishes on the year, if you count the Sugar Bowl later in the season, but their first blemish of the year was against Oklahoma. And, man, let me go on and tell you something. That was a back-and-forth game. Quinn Ewers was lining up to launch a Hail Mary, incomplete. The crowd rushed, and Oklahoma was shooting their gun. The Sooner Nation was on their feet. Brent Venables got a huge monumental comeback win against Texas when last season everybody was kind of just hating on Oklahoma, and a lot of people were giving up on Brent Venables. He kind of picked it up. Did they fall off a little bit at the end of the season? Yes. Did Texas bounce back from this and make it to the college football playoff and win the Big 12 championship game? Yes. They made it to the college football playoff. They won the Big 12 championship. Yes, it worked out better for the loser in this game. That's what was so funny about this game. It worked out better for the loser in this game. But this one game, if you take away the other aspects of the stuff, if you take away the Big 12 championship, if you take away the college football playoff appearance, just focus on Dallas, Texas, the Cotton Bowl. Just focus on that game right there. You don't hear anything, but Oklahoma wins against Texas. They defeated Texas 34-30. That's all you heard. Enjoy the win. That's all you say. Just think about that. Don't think about the other stuff yet. Think about what just happened in that moment, because that's what college football is all about, man. It's living and relishing in the moment, and that is what it was about in that game. 34-30. The crowd was electrifying. The game was back and forth. The defenses, it was a very physical football game. The SEC just got a preview of what's to come with the Red River rivalry. back and forth in Dylan Gabriel playing a monster game. The defense for Oklahoma played a monster game. Texas was doing really, really well up until the later part of the fourth. I feel like they kind of just collapsed. They ran out of gas a little bit, it seemed like. And I think that's what happened. The Longhorns just ran out of gas. And it proved to be too costly when they were trying to make a comeback. It proved to be too much in the very end. So I think that's what you can lean your hat on when this game. It's number eight for that very reason, because of the pageantry of the game, because of how close it was, because of the exciting finish that we got when OU upset Texas in Dallas, when we all thought that Texas was going to go undefeated in the season. So number eight, Texas versus Oklahoma in the Red River Rivalry. Oklahoma defeated Texas 34-30 in Dallas in the old Cotton Bowl Stadium. The SEC is getting a preview of what's to come between both teams. Cannot wait to see what they do, and especially when I do a spring outlook on both of those teams coming up in the next couple of weeks. So number eight, Texas versus Oklahoma in the Red River Rivalry. Number seven, interesting enough, let me just take a breath here. Number seven, LSU versus Ole Miss. And LSU at Ole Miss. So LSU at Ole Miss, number seven. Let me go on and tell you something about this game. You want to watch a game full of offense, just offense. You think of games like in 2016 and 2017, or I'm sorry, 2016, Patrick Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma versus Texas Tech. That's what you think of. You want to get a game resembling, like an offensive showcase resembling to that one? Go back and watch LSU and Ole Miss this season. That was an offensive showcase. Offensive showcase. Let's talk about that game on the scorecards. Because, wow. Wow, that's all I gotta say is wow. It was a back and forth game. In the first quarter, LSU, gave the ball to Ole Miss. Ole Miss drove down the field, easily scored on them. LSU's defense, right here, and I would say right here is when LSU's defense started to really show itself and show, hey, this is not a good defense. Well, I would say this. I would say it finally came out that they weren't a good defense. Arkansas, they proved, okay, they're a little suspect. Florida State, in the Florida State game, they're like, okay, they didn't have a good defensive performance. First game, jitters, got that out of the way. Grambling State, when they got ran on, you're thinking, okay, a little bit weird in the first half, but we're going to start picking it up. They picked it up for the state game. They picked it up for that game. Then Arkansas came around. They're like, okay, they're a little suspect on defense. They can't stop a whole lot. And then finally, when you look at the Ole Miss game, you're thinking, okay, there's no hope. This defense is awful. It's just a bad defense. This defense is not good for LSU. Ole Miss's defense wasn't really all that good either in this game, but LSU's was way worse. And that's this is what cost them. Final score of this game was Ole Miss 55, LSU 49. Ole Miss was not supposed to win this game. In the scorecards, it was LSU projected to win by a touchdown. And then the line went down to a field goal. But Ole Miss ended up out-dueling them because of LSU's defense. Ole Miss caught LSU on a couple of good plays for defensively and stopped them, at least had a one crucial stop in that game to give Ole Miss the advantage and to ice this game and win it, because LSU's defense wasn't stopping anybody. So Ole Miss defeated LSU 55-49. The scorecard, Ole Miss 21, LSU 7 in the first quarter. They scored 21 points in the first quarter. LSU's defense was not looking good there. Second quarter, LSU came back and stepped it up, took the lead even. 21-10 in the second quarter. LSU outscored Ole Miss in the third, 14-3. And then just like the first quarter, it went right back to LSU not doing so hot on defense and getting a couple of good stops for Ole Miss in their favor. 21-7 in the fourth, Ole Miss outscores LSU. For the final score to be 55-49, Ole Miss defeating LSU. LSU was trying to go for a hail, like a four verticals play into the end zone late. Chris Hilton was almost there. He almost caught it, but it was knocked out after a hard hit by Ole Miss's secondary, and Ole Miss got the win in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Oxford. And back and forth game. Let me just talk about this. Let's just talk about the overall, you know, the overview of the game. It's the overview of the game. And if I can, I was going to try to see if I can find, you know, team stats for this, because the team stats on this is unbelievable. Just unbelievable. When you look at the total yards, LSU has 637 total yards. Ole Miss has 706 total yards. Passing, LSU 414 passing yards. Ole Miss 389 in passing yards. Rushing, 223 rushing yards for LSU, 317 for Ole Miss. Let me get my calculator, because I need to get my calculator right now. When you do the math, okay, and I'm doing the math right now on my calculator. When you do the math, it adds up total yards in this game to be 1,343 total yards in this game by both teams combined. 1,000 plus yards by both teams. You want an offensive showcase, you got it right there. Back and forth affair between LSU and Ole Miss. It lived up to the hype. It was one of the games of the week that when you look at it, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a showcase here. Battle between two good solid teams. Can LSU move on, rub that Florida State loss, and march forward, beat Ole Miss, march forward, because Ole Miss already had a loss. Ole Miss was coming off of a loss to Alabama. So Ole Miss is coming off of a loss to Alabama. And how do they respond? They go back home and beat LSU. And LSU ended up having the best offense that year too. Ended up beating LSU and out-dueling LSU. So what can you say, right? There's nothing else you could say. Offensive showcase, fireworks, the crowd was into it. Everybody was on the edge of their seat. It's number 7 because of that very reason. It's a top 10 game. It was one of the best games all year. There's no doubt in my mind. It was one of the best games all year between two very good teams. One went to a New Year's Six Bowl. The other went to the Relia Quest Bowl. And it was a showcase of two offenses that could move the ball very well in the air and on the ground, mainly through the air. It was a good quarterback duel between eventual Heisman winner Jaden Daniels and Jackson Dart, who could very well be on a lot of people's Heisman list this year. So let's see. Let's see what happens with both these teams coming up, you know, this season in 2024. They go back to Baton Rouge. Can they relive up to what they did this past season, putting up 1,343 total yards of offense combined for both teams? So LSU at Ole Miss, number 7. Ole Miss defeated LSU 55-49. Number 7, LSU at Ole Miss, where Ole Miss got the win over LSU. So number six. We're getting down to it, guys. We're getting down to it. Number 6. Pause. You're going to think, why did you put this game at number 6? It should be higher. I'm going to explain why. Number 6, Alabama versus Georgia in the SEC championship game. Why did you put it up there? It was close. It was hyped up to the brim. Been hyped up for a few weeks after Alabama beat LSU. That Alabama team who lost to Texas, who played their worst game under Nick Saban's regime against USF, a team full of, you know, who did not really, you know, who did not gel, who were very inexperienced, a team that Nick Saban had to come up with and get and dig within himself to coach a team and try to make a team just legit, a legit contender, rise from the ashes team. Can this team knock off Georgia? I get that. I get the hype around it. But there were a lot better games out there than this one overall that were just this had ramifications to it, but a lot closer games that were thinking, man, you know, the star power, quarterback power in these two games is just, you know, pretty solid. You can't overcome it. So, number six, Alabama-Georgia in the SEC Championship game. Back and forth at first. The only one in Georgia going into this game hadn't lost in two seasons. You remember, you know what? Let me just recall and tell y'all when the last time Georgia lost. The 2021 SEC Championship game when Bryce Young and Alabama and company went into Atlanta and beat Georgia. And I'm not talking about just beat Georgia. I'm talking about dominated Georgia. Everyone was talking about Georgia's defense. This is the best Georgia defense we've seen and one of the best defenses we've seen since Miami of the early 2000s and in the 80s even. Let me go on and tell you something. That is the truth. But Bryce Young ended up, you know, not caring about the noise. He ended up going out to play football like a professional athlete would, and he's in the NFL now, but like a top quarterback would, and he ended up lighting it up in the SEC Championship game. It was a good game. Georgia was dominant all year to the point where even though they lost badly, Georgia was still one of the four best teams in that playoff. Georgia ended up getting in along with Alabama. They rematched in the national championship going into the 2021 national championship. And guess who won that one? Georgia. Georgia beat Alabama pretty good. And Georgia ended up winning. Georgia hadn't lost since then. They went undefeated, went back-to-back national champions. Hadn't lost since 2 years, in two seasons, in 2 years, have not lost. Could Alabama do it? Who could stop them? Who could stop Georgia? Who could stop Kirby Smart? His master stopped him. Nick Saban stopped him. The final score of that game was Alabama 27, Georgia 24. Alabama defeated Georgia for the first and Georgia and handed Georgia its first loss for the first time in 2 years. And what's so shocking about this win was it was a team where you didn't think that they could do it. You want to look at USF, right? And you see if that team would have played the SEC Championship, Georgia would have smoked them, you know, and twice on Sunday, okay, when you look at it. But when you see the progression of how Nick Saban coached, it was one of the best coaching jobs that Nick Saban has ever done in his career, if not the best. He turned that team into a complete, you know, unknown and threw it back on them and say, how bad do you want this? Do you want to win? Do you want to be like the other Alabama teams? Do you want to be great? Do you want to have that value for yourself and go play for a title? It motivated them. It motivated him, and Jalen Milroe was not going to be denied. He went all the way to the SEC Championship, played a monster game against LSU, played a monster game against Kentucky, did not play a white-hot game against Auburn. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But in the SEC Championship, ended up beating Georgia 27-24 in a very tough game. Physical for both teams. Alabama had and mustered up the will to beat Georgia in this game. Now, Georgia going into this game played a solid game. They were running the ball well, but Bama just had the answers for them on defense. They gave them some different looks on defense that Georgia was just not used to seeing in the regular season. Gave them some different looks. Nick Saban knew what to do against a Kirby Smart-led team. And Alabama, and in Nick Saban's last SEC title win was against his old coordinator, his old assistant, Kirby Smart. And it was against, you know, the team, you know, that hadn't lost in 2 years. So what a way to go out in the SEC. Like, what a way to go out in the SEC. Beating your old assistant, winning one more SEC championship, and what a way to go out with a team like that you really didn't expect him to be there. one of the greatest coaching jobs of all time, and it proves why Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. It really does. Georgia played had a great season, played a decent game, but just couldn't get it done against Alabama in that game. It ticked them off. It really did. They felt like they were one of the four best teams going into that game and even after. And they proved that they were one of the four best teams by beating Florida State 63-3 in the Orange Bowl and breaking their own bowl record. So we're not going to mention that anymore. But number six, Alabama versus Georgia in the SEC Championship. Alabama defeated Georgia 27-24. It's number six because of that reason. All the stuff that I just mentioned. Number six, Alabama and Georgia in the SEC Championship game where Bama defeated Georgia 27-24, handing Georgia its first loss in two seasons. Let's see what Georgia does this season. Let's see what Alabama does this season under Kalen DeBoer, their new head coach. So, speaking of Alabama, number five, we're getting into the top five now. Sorry for going on for too long. We'll be done here in a little bit. I'll try to speed things up. But number five, Alabama at Auburn in the Iron Bowl. You got to put it there. You have to put it in the top five. This game was close until the very end. It was the same score, by the way. Same exact score as the SEC Championship. 27-24, Alabama defeated Auburn. It was a scare in Jordan-Hare. A scare in Jordan-Hare. Did you get the rhyme? Scare in Jordan-Hare. It literally was. When you look at the game, Auburn was all over them. Coming off of a loss to New Mexico State. They play Alabama close, and they almost knocked them out of the playoff and the conference title. And, I mean, they didn't knock them out of the conference title because they already clinched it, but you get my drift. They were going to knock them out of the playoff. They were going to knock them out of the playoff. I mean, it was that simple. I mean, and Auburn, they were more focused on Georgia and Auburn, and that came out to bite them. Auburn could not throw the ball very well until they found some short passes that worked. Then they found a medium pass that worked, and they kept using those plays, including running the ball with Peyton Thorne. That worked on Bama's defense. Bama's defense was shook. They didn't know what to expect. Auburn was leading in that game 24-21. They were leading in that game. 24-20. It was 24-20. Auburn was winning in that game, 24-20. It was like, what, 4th and 17? The game was on the line. It needed to be a touchdown, or they weren't. It was it. It was over. Auburn was going to win the Iron Bowl in Jordan-Hare. 24-20 under Hugh Freeze's first year at Alabama, a man that is known to have beaten Alabama and knows what it takes to beat Alabama. At Ole Miss, right? Tries to do it at Auburn. 24-20, coming off of a loss to New Mexico State, played a really wonderful game on both sides of the ball. Alabama was shook. They had them on its heels. And what is Jalen Milroe, Nick Saban, and what do they dial up? A 4th and 17 bomb down the field by Isaiah Bond. And it's caught. It's caught at the very last second, the very last minute. The last play, 4th and 17, caught, tiptoe catch, into the end zone, touchdown Alabama by Isaiah Bond. Isaiah Bond, no longer with Alabama, he transferred to Texas, so he is now the new Texas wide receiver, Isaiah Bond. But Isaiah Bond caught it into the end zone, touchdown, got him the win, 27-24, Alabama defeated Auburn in the Iron Bowl, clutch play by Jalen Milroe, and clutch play by Isaiah Bond to defeat Auburn and to send themselves to the SEC Championship game and to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. Back and forth game on the edge of our seat. I was standing up watching the Iron Bowl. I was standing up watching it. I did not cover that game because I thought Alabama was going to beat them pretty good. I was wrong. I should have covered that game. I should have just, you know, should have covered that game and should have not focused on the New Mexico State game between Auburn and them. So Alabama defeated Auburn 27-24. in the Iron Bowl, number five because of how close the game was, how close Alabama came to losing that game, and how back and forth was, and that electrifying play at the very end. That's why it's a top five game, and that is what makes college football so great. One of the most defining plays at the end of an era of college football here. So number five, Alabama at Auburn in the Iron Bowl, where Alabama defeated Auburn 27-24. Let's go to number four, 3, 2, and 1. We got four more games. Number four, Ohio State and Michigan in the game. Ohio State and Michigan in the game. That game, pretty simple. I said back and forth, talent on both sides of the ball. What are they going to do with Marvin Harrison Jr.? What is the other team going to do with Roman Wilson? What are they going to do about the running attack with Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards? What's going to happen? Who's going to play physical up front? There was a lot of questions you could ask about this game. Who do I have winning that game? Michigan. Who won the game? Michigan. Michigan defeated Ohio State 30-24 in the Big House in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And in Michigan Stadium, Ohio State at Michigan, the game, right? A lot of people picked Ohio State to win that game. I had Michigan. I thought Michigan was going to go three in a row, beat Ohio State because of the team they had. They felt like they couldn't be denied for some reason. Jim Harbaugh was coaching very hard against all odds, and Michigan found a way to get the job done. Even though Jim Harbaugh wasn't coaching that game, he did not coach that game. Future, now the new Michigan head coach, Sherrone Moore, was coaching that game as the interim head coach and defeated Ryan Day and Ohio State in a close game. Kyle McCord threw an interception late, and it sealed the game for Michigan. Michigan played really, really good, through the pass. J.J. McCarthy had a really good game throwing the ball. Roman Wilson had a questionable catch in the end zone, but they caught it, a touchdown. Marvin Harrison played really, really well as well. Trevion Henderson played really, really well in this one. He's back as well for Ohio State this year, along with Quishon Juggins in 2024. The running game went well. Amike Abuka played really well. Harrison played well. McCord was doing everything he can to upset Michigan on the road and to win the game for them, because the implications of this game, like always, is always what makes it a top five game. Because who's going to the Big Ten championship? Who's gonna go to the college football playoff? If you lose, you're out, usually. Except for last year. Last year, it was different. This year, it was no different. You lose this game because there's so many teams ahead in the pool between those two that were undefeated, playing for conference titles. You couldn't afford to lose this one. If you lose, you're out, win or go home type of game, in the game. And that's what made it so special. Crowd was roaring, 100,000 plus in Michigan Stadium, in the Big House, rocking and rolling for this rivalry game. They don't like each other. Michigan ended up getting the win and beating Ohio State, and Ohio State was eliminated from the college football playoff. Ryan Day's third straight loss to Michigan, and Jim Harbaugh technically got the win, but Sherrone Moore helped him out and got the win under a suspended Jim Harbaugh during that year. So Michigan went on to win the Big Ten championship, went on to play Alabama, and then went on to win the national championship against Washington. Ohio State went on to play in the Cotton Bowl against Missouri and ended up losing to Missouri 14-3 in the Cotton Bowl. So number four, Ohio State at Michigan in the game. Michigan defeated Ohio State 30-24 in a big-time matchup. So number four, Ohio State at Michigan. Number three, Washington versus Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. Back-and-forth game. It was the rematch from their regular season game in October. Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., ever since that game, Bo Nix has been on the rise. He's been playing lights out. They were wondering if he was going to win the Heisman Trophy because of how he was playing. They played it on a different level. I picked Oregon to win that rematch because I honestly thought going into that game they were a little bit more hungry after that loss that they took to Washington earlier. And I thought Washington kind of dipped a little bit in some of their games after Oregon. Didn't turn out that way now, did it? Washington defeated Oregon 34-31 to win the Pac-12 championship, which could be the final Pac-12 championship football game. and went on to go to the college football playoff, into the Sugar Bowl, and eventually the national championship. So good on Washington. Michael Penix Jr., Dylan Johnson played an incredible game. Roma Dunsey played a fantastic game as well. Oregon, it was back and forth up until the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter is when Washington started to, you know, push it a little bit. I think on the field, Washington played a little bit better than Oregon in, you know, in the second half, and especially in the fourth quarter, Washington turned the gas up a little bit, and Oregon didn't know what to do. They didn't really know how to stop it, especially when Dylan Johnson was running the ball. Michael Penix threw the ball really well. They played really physical up front against a very tough and physical Oregon team, and Oregon just kind of fell on their heels a little bit. They did not know what to do in the rematch, and a couple of first down daggers late in the game put Washington gave them the win, and, you know, put Oregon out for good. So back and forth game. The hype around this game was huge because it was a barn burner of a classic, but in the first game, right? And a lot of them were saying, you know what? We want to see this game again. We want to see Washington versus Oregon again in a rematch for the Pac-12 championship in Las Vegas. We want to see that on December 1st. And we did. We saw it. We kind of had a feeling what was coming, right? We kind of had a feeling, okay, this is where we're going. Oregon and Washington 2 in the Pac-12 championship on December 1st between Michael Penix and Bo Nix. And it was a good game. It was a barn burner of a game between both teams. And Washington just played a little bit tough. Everyone picked Oregon to win that game. I even picked Oregon to win that game. Washington got the win and cemented its legacy and by going to the national championship. Did they lose the national championship? Yes, they did. But they defeated Oregon in the process, and they got the win. They got the win in the Pac-12 championship game. And it just ended up, you know, having a spectacular season. Both teams had a spectacular season. So back and forth game. Washington defeated Oregon 34-31. In the Pac-12 championship game, Washington versus Oregon is number 3. Number 2, Oregon at Washington, the first game. Because the first game, to me, was better than the Pac-12 championship game. It was a good Pac-12 championship game. Don't get me wrong. But it was a really good first game. Because it was a hyped up game between top 10 teams. College Game Day was there in Seattle. It was electric in Seattle. The Dog Pound Husky Nation was excited. They were ready to. They were rocking and rolling there. A lot of media was there. They rushed the field after Oregon missed the field goal. Washington defeated Oregon 36-33. And Oregon missed the field goal. Oregon missed the last second field goal to tie the game up, and Washington won the game late. Before that, on a drive, on a huge drive, Michael Penix Jr. Hooked up Roma Dunsey for a touchdown, scored, and they got a huge, huge lead ahead. You know, of what Oregon could do, just see what Oregon could do, and see if they can answer to tie the game up, 36-33. I think some of the mistakes were on Dan Lanning in this one by going for it before half, going for it in certain areas where they did not need to go for it in, and I think that's what cost them because Washington had an answer for it, and Kalen DeBoer, and that's what cost it. That's what cost Oregon was some of those mistakes. But in the Pac-12 title game, Oregon didn't make those mistakes, but Washington just outplayed them. In this game, they outplayed them, but a lot of the mistakes happened because of Dan Lanning in Oregon and some of the calls that they made. So, big-time game, back-and-forth game. I covered it. I loved it. I love watching it. Washington defeated Oregon 36-33, and number 2 is Oregon at Washington out of the top 50 games of the 2023 college football season, Pigskin Frenzy Edition. It was a classic. It was one of my favorite games of the year. Reminded me a little bit of Tennessee and Alabama. I really loved it. I thought the crowd was into it. I thought it was a back-and-forth game and very physical game between both teams. So one of the best games of the year, probably on y'all's top list too, maybe out there. So who knows, but We have finally reached it, guys. We have finally reached number one, the number one game, Pigskin Frenzy's number one game of the 2023 college football season out of top 50 games. Number one. Here we go. We went from 50 to 41, 40 to 31, 30 to 21, 20 to 11, and now 10 to 1. Number one of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 college football games of the 2023 season. Number one, Alabama versus Michigan, the Rose Bowl / college football playoff semifinal. The game was electric. Both teams back and forth going at it. I mean, Michigan played really physical football. They played a really, really good defense. They sacked Jalen Milroe a good bit. Bama ended up, they didn't know what to do in the first half. Michigan had the lead. Bama ended up coming back, ran the ball extremely well on offense, scored, and Bama was starting to bring some life into themselves against Michigan. They had Michigan a little bit on its heels because Jalen Milroe and Alabama in the running game was just getting to them. It was draining him a little bit. Some mistakes happened on Jalen Milroe's part, a fumble, bad snaps from center Seth McLaughlin, who is now transferred to Ohio State. Familiar for both schools, I guess. But it was, you know, mistakes after mistakes on Alabama's part that Michigan capitalized on, and Michigan fired themselves up over, and Michigan capitalized on those mistakes. The game went into overtime. 20-20, back and forth between both teams, went in overtime, 20-20. Blake Corum ran the ball in for a touchdown. Alabama couldn't stop him on the outside. Blake Corum was having a field day against Alabama. Blake Corum ended up running in for a touchdown to make it 27-20. Bama was going to tie it. Michigan's defense denied him three times denied him in overtime. Then we get, all of a sudden, one play call. Fourth and goal. The game is on the line. 27-20, fourth and goal. This is going to decide, are we going to a double overtime? Or is Michigan going to go to the national championship game against the winner of Texas and Washington? Who's going to win this game? Right here. The play call. It could have been a Z spot. Could have been a spacing switch. Could have been a flat play to the end zone. They called a quarterback power, and it was stuffed immediately by Michigan's defense, and they defeated Alabama in the Rose Bowl and in the college football playoff semifinal. Michigan defeated Alabama 27-20 in overtime in a classic of a game between both teams. Great game by both teams, but the mistakes caught up to Alabama in this one. Nick Saban coached his final game in a defeat, you know, in, as they call it in professional wrestling. Alabama and Nick Saban put Michigan over to go to the national championship. And in doing so, put Jim Harbaugh over to win the national championship. So Nick Saban saluted after that game, retired after the Rose Bowl. It was a very hard-fought season for Alabama. Drained Nick Saban. For the first time, Nick Saban said he was tired after this season. It was a long season. But Bama, taking Bama to where they were, I mean, lost to Texas, played a horrible game against USF, one of the worst games I've ever seen under a Nick Saban coach team, bringing them out like that and putting them into the Rose Bowl, winning the SEC championship, all that, and bringing them there. One of the greatest coaching jobs I've ever seen in college football. Not only that, but in Nick Saban's coaching tenure in general, and especially at Alabama. So Alabama had a good season. Michigan went on to win the national championship. Michigan went on to win the national championship. Finally, Jim Harbaugh brought a title back to his alma mater in Ann Arbor, in Michigan, into the Big House. So a lot of those guys are gone now. Michigan is now kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit, but it's over. Number one of this game. of this whole list, Alabama versus Michigan in the Rose Bowl, college football playoff, Michigan defeated Alabama 27-20 in overtime. The game was so hyped. The crowd was electric. It was a big semifinal between both teams, and I think it was just so, too good of a classic, you know, to not be number one, especially because it was Nick Saban's final game. It was Nick Saban's final game. Put Jim Harbaugh over in that one with the post-game handshake. And it was the final game of Nick Saban's career, the number one game of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season, Alabama versus Michigan in the Rose Bowl, college football playoff semifinal at number one. That was Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. Let me go, guys, let me hear your thoughts on everything. Go back and see all my lists. They're on Twitter, or I'm sorry, they're on X, they're on Facebook. Go back and listen to it or see it and watch it and look it over and, you know, tell me what you guys think. We are out of time. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit, or Tuesday rather. Sorry. See, I'm already getting tongue-tied because I'm talking so fast. So big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, all you have to do, type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You'll get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get trivia questions on Instagram stories, go and answer today's, as well as all things of the date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Go and check out the website. Go and contact me there. Guys, go on the website, purchase some products from our partners, the Beard Club. Thank you and shout out to them. Go and meet your grooming needs, men and women and wives of those men. Go and get your men's grooming and facial hair needs met with the Beard Club, our proud partner there. So big thank you there. Guys, Thursday, we will be back with another edition of Pigskin Frenzy. We're going to talk about the NFL Pro Days. We're going to kick it off with some Pro Days, talk about the latest prospects of the 2024 NFL Draft, and a little bit of a final recap of NFL free agency. Until Thursday, I'm Joel Norris, signing off. We will see you Thursday for an NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy. For everybody out there, stay the course.